Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I don't get it. Podcast.
Hey guys, it's Ashley,
Lauren,
and Naz.
Do you get excited when we say our names out loud?
Like, I know that sounds really conceited. I mean, like when Crystalia
doesn't say his name.
He doesn't.
Obviously,
he just starts talking.
Thinks it's so dumb when people say, "It's Chris." Like, duh, you clicked on the podcast.
Well,
you
know? Wait, shit. Should we just stop introducing?
No, because
ourselves?
People are still. Someone we just recorded a podcast. I can't remember what it was. I think it was the one with Jonathan, where someone was like messaging me something that Lauren said. And
really?
I'm like, this wasn't me. I don't know if we have to say our name anymore, but I think people still confuse Lauren and I.
But well, we have a guest.
Which is so weird because you guys sound more similar.
We have a guest who
do.
Actually has to introduce herself. So go ahead.
My name's Nicoletta. And before we even talk about me, I want to know how Jonathan introduced himself.
Oh my God.
Because I need to know for personal reasons.
I don't even introduce him because she said Jonathan Vanessa wrong.
No, that was in the middle of the podcast.
She's a JV.
I said JVS.
Oh, that's what it was. JVS.
Yeah, but that's not how we introduced him. That was in the middle.
I forget. Did I just say it's Jonathan from Queer Eye?
Yeah, and he was just iconic, and he came in here, he rolled a quick, cute blunt, and...
No, it was gorgeous.
It was a gorgeous blunt, and then we went on with
our day.
He was
like, you do everything gorgeous.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Smoking weed with him was like... I was smoking weed with him, I was like, I can't believe it. It was like an outer body experience. I'm like, is this for real? Like,
I
woke up and thought I dreamed that.
He's like... probably the most famous person in the country right now.
Well, yeah. 100%. I agree with
that. And you have
I would say reality star.
And now you
know he's more than a reality star.
Yeah, definitely transcendent.
If you're hanging out with Gigi Hadid,
you cannot tell me that, like, if you go up to your random ass American, that they're going to know who Jonathan is versus an actual A-list actress.
No, I think they will because of Billboards and because Netflix is bigger now than
Billboards.
Actual, like,
and they've been
here.
Going to middle America and the South to get
that's
their
true.
Clientele.
Yeah. That is true. But Billboards only in LA pretty much.
No. All in Florida. Yeah, my parents told me Netflix has Billboards everywhere. That's how Netflix became so huge because they took over the Billboard.
They also had a commercial on when I was watching The Bachelorette last night.
Wait, Queer Eye had a commercial?
No, but Netflix did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they have commercials on regular stations now too.
I just see them hanging out with Gigi and like all these crazy people like Dua Lipa and all these people. And I'm like, you guys are A-list now basically.
Do you guys know that like 75% of America still watches their movies via DVD? DVD is still the 75% of how people watch movies at home.
Really?
Those probably aren't the people listening to your podcast.
I don't know how that's true.
I don't know. It's so crazy.
I don't know. I believe that, I guess.
Okay.
That's crazy. Nicoletta. All right, who is Nicoletta?
Yeah, Nicoletta, introduce yourself. What your expertise is in.
Only Jonathan gets an intro for himself. I'm Nicoletta. I was lucky to meet Ashley because she came on our podcast called Sluts and Scholars because a coworker of ours works on Clever. And I am a marriage and family therapy associate and sexologist here in Los Angeles. That means I study sex as my profession. And it's kind of like regular therapy, but I see people who are presenting with like sexuality issues. And yeah, then I do my podcast and radio show, Sluts and Scholars.
Okay, so tell us what Sluts and Scholars means. Because it's two things that don't often get put together.
Well, we hope that they can get put together. It's kind of reclaiming the word slut because I feel like if you're listening, you might have an immediate reaction to that word of like, oh, like that's a negative thing. We see it as, a sexually liberated person who's taking ownership over their sexuality and likes sex or talking about sex, even if they're not having that much of it, like anyone could be a slut.
Mm-hmm.
And that it can be a positive thing. And so I was getting a lot of pushback, I think, from people in the therapy community and like old school therapists and psychologists that I was talking about sex too much and it wasn't appropriate and I should dress more conservatively and I should do X, Y, and Z. And so in my head, I'm like, why can't I be smart and good at my job and responsible and also like sex?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like these two things should be able to coexist together.
Right.
So I came up with the name when I was at a Korean spa with this this porn performer, Nina Hartley. And so we were talking about that and we came up with the idea Sluts and Scholars. And so that's turned it into what it is today. But I think like the big breaking point was somebody featured me in their story talking about something not sexual on Facebook, and they did not approve the ad because they said I had too much cleavage.
Wow.
That is so old. It was about war veterans.
What, and 1950s? Like, that's so weird.
Yeah, it was fucked up.
And I don't know if that's weird. I feel like that still happens.
Totally.
Maybe we've been in LA too long.
I think what I love about you, Nicoletta, is I feel like you're helping people start the conversation of like navigating sexuality in today's norms. And I was wondering if you could kind of go into what like your definition of sex is.
My definition of sex, I think it's so broad. I think most of us are taught that sex is just penis and vagina mm-hmm. penetration, and that is so fucking limiting. I mean, I could be having sex right now, and this could be sex for me.
That's true. Yeah. It's Wait. All like no way. What you consider to be sexual, right?
Like me talking and giving the podcast is sexy. I could have like a Kegel ball in. I could have like a butt plug in, and that could be sex. I don't
see. I was gonna say but, I was with my fiance.
Yes, congratulations.
A couple days ago at Shake Shack, and I go, there's nothing more pleasurable than Shake Shack.
Maybe that's it. Shake Shack is sex.
Maybe definition Shake Shack of sex is Shake Shack.
That's
sorry, it. It's like we were, I'm sure Ashley and I were going to get into it, that we would always pick food over sex, but maybe food is our sex.
Well, you know? Can, well, I mean, why pick? You can have food and sex together.
That's it. That's
like
going
now
down
that you have
tonight.
A fiance, you can do the Shake Shack on your body.
Yes.
You can like, you know.
Just ask for the Shake Shack sauce. Be like, can I have that on the side?
Oh, yes. I'm all about that. So yeah, I think it's especially because there are people who maybe don't have penises or don't have vaginas. Like there's so many ways to have sex. It could be self-pleasure, it could just be kissing.
See, it can just be kissing. This is why I love being on your podcast, because I was like, wait a second, what if I like dry humping and making out more than anything? And you're like, well, that could be like that's
your definition
sex.
Of yeah. sex. Yeah, 100%.
I like to, just like Shake Shack, I like to see it as like it's like a menu of items. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of things that you can choose from and pick from like on your menu that day. Maybe sometimes you just feel like dry humping, and maybe sometimes you want the P and the V. Like, yeah.
That's so funny.
So fascinating. So
what do you, how would you define it?
Define sex?
Yeah.
I would probably say penis and vagina.
But like,
just
what
by like clinical, you know.
Well, because that's
definition.
What we're taught, right? Yeah. Like when we say like, oh, well, did you fuck? Like that's what we mean.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, did you hook up? Like that's probably what we mean.
When someone asked me, did you have sex with someone? I'm like, no, I couldn't get the Shake Shack, you know?
I couldn't get to her.
That's funny.
Gergie agrees.
How does your dog define sex?
Oh, he loves humping.
Oh, I was going to say pepperoni.
Oh, pepperoni. Yeah.
Okay, well, take advice from the dog that like sometimes just humping inanimate objects could also be sex.
Well, Laura and I always talk about humping our pillow. Wait, where's this?
Just
where we
found
had
this out? Yeah.
Wait, is this what you just found out?
Yeah.
I told you this casually a couple weeks ago.
Was like, that a thing you did?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That was like definitely our
us
first.
As kids, we just do it. We
yeah,
didn't know
just
what
hump
we're
a
doing,
pillow, and
really.
I never knew that
Did
that
you do
could
the
like
pillow?
Get. I've never, no, I never even thought to hump a pillow. I've only thought to
and
hump
I'm like,
a person.
What did you hump as a child?
I humped people.
No, as a kid.
I mean, I don't think I humped as a kid. I think I just humped.
That's
I started dry
normal.
Humping
I guess
in like
totally
middle school.
Normal, but
yeah.
Lauren and I definitely were at it. I was like.
My mom said that Ashley was like 2 years old in her crib.
Totally.
That's pretty normal. Like kids figure out in the womb you have a sexuality. I mean, unless you identify as asexual, like little kids can get erections, can get aroused. So
what?
Like, yes. Yeah. I mean, they don't see it as
little
sexual.
Boys?
Like, mm-hmm. Well, baby boys can get erections.
I got aroused watching Jerry Springer. Yeah. Like, no, 11.
Yeah.
So, I understand that, like, but 11.
It probably wasn't sexual for you. You just, like, figured out that, like, oh, if I rub myself up against this pillow fort, like, it will feel good. Mm-hmm. My weapon of choice was the pole at the park.
Oh, me too.
Yes, were you on there?
Yeah.
Wait, what did you do with the pole at the park?
Like, yeah, you climb and you just, like,
how
hang there.
How funny is that?
Oh, whoa. Yeah. I think I did that, too. Just the one pole that you climbed
up. You climb up, but you, like, put it between your legs. Real good,
just, yeah.
So
and you're just kind of like,
this is crazy.
We can all go. I don't think I have the upper body strength for it anymore. But like at the time, I could hang there for a long time.
So yeah, funny. And we used to say, "Do you want to go play on the pole?"
Yeah,
and, like, we would do that.
Oh well, I used to twist like a stripper on the pole, but just because I thought it was artistic.
Like, just I literally was like, "You're beautiful." Because it is. There's a lot of beautiful dancing that can happen on a pole.
Wait, I want to talk about being asexual.
I was just gonna ask you,
like, how many people are asexual?
I heard it was 1 in 100.
You know, I think the estimates vary because I think there is still shame around it, which is weird because it's like if you don't have enough sex, there's shame. And then if you have too much sex, there's shame. So it's like
you can't fucking win in this
can't story. Win. Like you get stuck in the middle. But I think it depends how we define asexual. Like some people will just say it's to have, you know, no desire to have sexual interactions with anybody. Mm-hmm. I think there's another term, correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, like gray sexual, which is like maybe you only like something else in between where maybe you only like to have sexual stuff with yourself.
Okay.
I think it's pretty rare.
But those people still would be going after relationships for like emotional reasons, right?
Yeah. I mean, some might not want any, but I think a lot of them might want relationships. Emotional connections with people.
I think that's usually the priority when you get in a relationship is the emotional stuff, not the like, oh, I'd like to bang someone every day. I don't think anybody really thinks about that.
Well, no, a lot of people just marry people because of what they look like and because they're physically attracted to them. No?
I think that's attraction. Maybe I don't think that's. Than, like, the
I personally don't think that's why you should. But a lot of people just get married for the physical aspect of things.
Yeah, and I mean that fades.
Sure.
Definitely. Not for everyone. I mean, hopefully, you can still be attracted to your partner after a long time. But then attraction changes, and you get down to the nitty gritty. And so there's other things, obviously, that are important in a relationship too. But I think it's tougher than to find a partner who also is okay with that. I think maybe a lot of folks who are asexual might choose to enter non-monogamy because then their partner can like potentially get their sexual needs met elsewhere. And then they have a different kind of friendship relationship.
If like a person who's asexual starts having sex, asexual?
I'm sure they do.
Are they not going to enjoy it? They can have sex. They're just not going to like it.
Do they
it.
Not get off of it? Like what?
I mean, I know people who have branded themselves as asexual and they have had sexual interactions and they said they were enjoyable. They just like, it's because it sort of like presented itself to them and they like decided to give it a try. But they remarked that they had like no desire to seek that out in their life and that it just wasn't something that was of importance to them.
Okay. Does asexual...
So maybe it's more like a spectrum, like there's levels.
Yeah, I feel like everything's a spectrum.
Yeah.
Does it affect like being attracted to people being asexual?
Like, I think it's different person to person.
Okay. Yeah, of course.
Because then what is attraction? Like you could be attracted to somebody's looks. You could be attracted to their power, their smell. Mm-hmm. But it might not be like, oh, I want to like, oh, that person's hot. I want to fuck them. Mm-hmm. It might be like, oh, that person's interesting. I'd like to get to know them and develop a bond.
So being sexually happy is so important, whether you're single in a relationship, in several relationships, if you're a guy, a girl, non-binary, whatever, having a fulfilling sex life is so key. And that's why I personally love Love Honey. So if you guys haven't heard of them, you need to, and you need them in your life. Love Honey is one of the world's biggest online retailers, and they stock all kinds of sex toys, lingerie, and other amazing things that will literally revolutionize your sex life. I mean this.
You know how some people like are very nervous about walking into a sex shop because they don't want people like looking at them and being like, ooh, I wonder what you're going to use that for. Well, what is nice about Love Honey?
I'm gonna put it in my vagina.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious what you're going to probably do with it. But Love Honey is nice because they deliver straight from Atlanta to your door in super discreet packaging. And if, you know, you're like us, you may want to get your hands on that new toy super fast. And they express stuff with 1 day shipping.
Can I just tell everyone real quick about the clit sucker? If you've never tried a clit sucker... You guys, thanks to Love Honey, I have one now, and it's my favorite toy.
So ever. Funny.
Please try it. Everyone, please try it if you're comfortable and you want to, because I think every woman should at least try it once in their life.
They also have 24-hour customer service to help you with any question you have, and there's a ton of handy guides to help you out with your new toys and such.
Let's bring on those 12 orgasms, right? So because we love it so much and we want you to have 12 amazing orgasms, we're giving you an incredible discount offer. Get 20% off everything by going to the link lovehoney.com/get it. Follow that link and your discount will be automatically applied at checkout. So whatever you're after, go to the site, pick something up, and let the orgasms begin. So I want to know how you become a sexologist. Mm. And, like, what's the curriculum?
Do you want to do that?
Yeah, maybe.
The curriculum is fun. So I did my undergrad at Stanford, and I decided to get a higher education degree to practice marriage and family therapy. So I had to do, like, a regular master's program. I did that at Pepperdine. So that's in clinical psychology. And then most schools only offer, like, one class on sex and sexuality. Mm-hmm. This is for therapists. This is for OBGYNs. This is for general practitioners. Like, most don't have any classes on sex, which I think is unfortunate and not enough.
I would take them all.
Yeah. So also, even if they're treating something sexually related, they might not have any background. So I was like, I really want this to be my specialty. So I found this school based out of Philadelphia called Widener, and they have a master's and a PhD program in human sexuality. Wow. So I did that, and that curriculum was much more fun than the general psychology one.
I think it's so fucked up that, like, in most American public school systems, like, we don't talk about sex enough. Yeah. And I feel like that's why people grow up being ashamed of their sexuality.
Totally.
And that's why we think too much cleavage on, like, a digital commercial is wrong.
Yes.
Because it's like taboo. Like, no one grows up talking about it.
Right. And then parents aren't taught how to talk about it. But there's one thing that they do in this school program, and for sexologists, it's called a SAR, sexual attitude reassessment. And in that, they kind of, like, show you different videos and, like, stimuli to shock you. Mm-hmm. And so you could watch everything from, like, bestiality to, yes, it's included, to just, like, different porn that you watch, like, in class with your teachers.
When you fuck animals.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's called, bestiality.
Mm. Yeah.
And ZooTube is a thing, right?
What's ZooTube?
Oh, my God.
You just made it.
Yeah. It's bestiality on the internet, I think.
That is crazy.
Yeah, so shit gets real in those classes. And I remember one time we were in a lecture hall, and they were doing a kink BDSM demonstration. And so I'm literally sitting there with all of my cohort, all of my classmates, all of my professors, and there's, like, three semi-naked people on the front podium where they would usually do, like, chemistry experiments, getting, like, spanked and flogged, like, in a well-lit lecture hall.
That is so weird. And then, like, you're talking about, like, what's going on in their brain, like, why the spank so is stimulating the penis and stuff.
Yeah, they're just, like, you know, they're showing us how it's done and what it looks like and consent and boundaries, but then they're also doing demos, and I'm just, you know, you're sitting there with your classmates and your teachers.
So weird.
And it did feel weird because it's like, but I was excited. I was like, I can't believe this is my class.
Yeah, that's cool. It's so progressive.
I get to write a paper on this. I get a letter grade in this. And I get a doctorate for this.
Fully invested.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know this is, like, sounds super ignorant of me, but I just feel like maybe people being, like, ashamed and not and being scared to talk about it and all that stuff is very, like, 19 something and not of, like, the upcoming generations. But I guess am I wrong?
What do you guys think?
Okay, well, I heard that our generation is the least sexually active generation in a really long time.
Wait, what, you say our generation?
Our generation as millennials.
Okay.
Yes. And I think it's because, why did I say that?
I don't remember now. Darn it.
I don't even remember why that is.
You think because of technology?
Honestly, no, I've heard so many.
It wasn't technology, which is why it was weird.
It was guys didn't want to put in the effort or something like that. Like, they'd rather just get off on their own and not even put in the effort to meet a girl.
Yeah.
Which we've seen and experienced personally.
So I feel like maybe we're not talking about sex as much just because I heard that statistic.
I think maybe the reasons for, like, the shame changing might be different than they were in like 1950s, but I do feel like it's still prevalent. Because parents aren't taught how to talk about sex.
Well, like, I will say Lauren and I never got the talk. Do I think it affected us?
I don't know.
Did you get the talk?
My dad had the condom talk with me.
Oh. I think the problem
is we got a period talk.
I didn't even get
that. I got
that.
My period when I was 9, so I thought I was just going to die. Yeah. Just eternally bleeding.
That's traumatic. Like, if you don't know what's coming, and then all of a sudden you're bleeding, and, it's like, so you don't know what to do about it, like, that's fucking scary.
I've talked about my endo before, but after this, I'd love to talk to you about it.
Sure. Well, that's a big thing that affects sexuality. Because
my parents are Catholics. They didn't want me to be on birth control. Yeah. So I just thought I had these, like, excruciating periods. But anyways,
well, I think that's an example
talk about it now if you're comfortable.
Three out of four of us have not had... I don't even like calling it a sexuality talk. We try to, like, when I say we, I mean like sex therapists, I think try to label it as a conversation because it should be something that's ongoing as opposed to this like awkward way too late. Like, let's talk about sex when you might already be having it as opposed to introducing it little by little from a young age in like an age appropriate way.
Right. Like, I just remember, I guess when I was little, normal asking, like, where's babies coming from? And, like, never getting an answer of any, like, legitimacy. Oh, really?
No, totally.
Like, you guys ever walked in on your parents?
No.
Fuck no.
I did. So I was like, oh, that's a thing.
No way.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
When I was little, I think you know what's weird? I think I already knew what it was. And I was young.
I'm sure you did. Because otherwise you would just be like, they're just like.
I don't know. I, like, watched a lot of, like, adult stuff when I was little.
I just didn't know how it went down. Like, I thought that for a long time, until I was, like, literally, I went through sex ed.
She went through sex ed in sixth grade. And
at the end of sixth grade, I didn't know that the penis went inside the vagina.
No, because they never said it. You, like, alluded. It was totally alluded to what in did
they
our say? School.
They were just like, the sperm meets the egg. They never like, tell you how it got
where
there.
Where did they meet?
So I felt like the rolling around.
I bet a lot of people listening agree. Yeah. It's so crazy.
So until a sleepover with our friends, I didn't know.
Me and Sierra had to tell you guys. And you, like, thought, like, you, like, put it in your belly button or something.
No, I thought that maybe, you swallowed the semen and it got there. But, like, I didn't know until I was going to middle school, y'all. Since we moved into a new place, we are cleaning out the closets. We're starting fresh. So we put a couple of items on Poshmark. My handle is Ike and Eddie Lauren, and Ashley and I are combining our wardrobe onto there.
We combine our wardrobe and all of life.
And we got some great dresses on there. You have to download the free Poshmark app. Poshmark carries women's, kids, and men. Poshmark has tons of brands to shop. Like, we put House of CB dresses up there. Really expensive, lovely bikinis.
Yeah, so what Poshmark is nice for is, like, when something's too nice to donate, but you've worn it a couple too many times that you don't really want to wear it again, so you decide to put it up for resale, you know. The ones that we put up, actually, the House CB dresses still have their tags on. They weren't in the right size. So there's that. And then there's, like, lightly worn items and new bathing suits up on ours. And Lauren, again, repeat what that is.
It's Ike and Eddie, IaconEtti, Lauren.
And I'm actually on there, too. My handle's at Naz Perez. And the reason why I love Poshmark is because it's literally the easiest way to make money. And they have tons of brands to shop from, like House of CB, like Lauren was saying. They have Off-White on there, which is my favorite brand. And you guys won't believe the deals that you'll find on Poshmark.
I've been keeping my eye out for these Doc Marten sandals that are, like, $50 less, and they're, like, not even worn. So I'm probably going to buy that on Poshmark.
Right. And it's the easiest way to buy and sell items.
And you guys, what we put up there was my engagement dress, quote, quote. It was not the actual one I wore, but it is the same style from House of CB.
Sorry, guys. It's been sold today, though.
Yeah, I know.
Sold! Well, that's
just know to look out for things like
that. There's another gorgeous dress on there, though.
Yeah, there's another amazing one that was my backup engagement dress.
What I love about it, too, is that it's easy for the buyer and the seller when it comes to shipping. Like, that's the best because I hate shipping things, and Poshmark makes it so easy if you're the buyer or the seller. And right now we are offering everyone $5 off your first order. So you guys, download the free Poshmark app. It carries women, kids, men's. You'll get $5 off. All you have to do is type in Lauren and Ashley's handle, which is
Ike and Eddie Lauren,
and my handle, which is at Naz Perez.
You guys, I didn't know they had men's stuff. That's good to know.
Yeah, they got everything.
In case I want to sell some of Jared's shit when he moves in.
I love you, baby. That's amazing.
All right, back to the show.
You know what's fucked, Nicoletta, that just popped into my head?
What?
So I didn't lose my virginity until after I turned 21. But because I was so late in my peer group to lose it, in my head I was like, oh, it's okay. I don't know what to do. I'm not going to ask my friends because I'm embarrassed, but the guy will know what to do, which just sparked a question in my head that I want to ask you.
Yeah.
How do little boys find out how to do it? Like, how do they, if they don't have like a father figure, like, isn't that mind boggling to you? It's like, and then isn't that also fucked in retrospect that I, as a woman, and I'm like, the man's going to teach me how to have sex. That's fucked up. I should know how to have sex. I should know what my vagina looks like. Like, I should know all that stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's the trouble, is that I think parents who are more conservative think that they're maybe protecting their kids, but they're actually setting them up to like not have ownership over their bodies and to feel confident and have pleasurable and healthy experiences.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that, I would say that's not good for kids. But I think we view it more as like, oh, we don't want them to like go down this dangerous path. It's like, they're going to go there whether you talk to them about it or not, but you might have a chance to like help them explore it in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. What was your question about how do boys figure it out?
I mean, it's not really a question for you to answer. It's just in my head, I always wondered, you know, how do guys even learn?
It must be so much scarier for them to lose it. I don't know.
It must be.
It's more embarrassing maybe because like, oh, I put it in and
the dad's done.
Like, we honestly could just lay there.
Exactly.
You don't need to really move.
But for me, this sounds so basic. I feel like I'm about to order a pumpkin spice latte when I say this. But Samantha Jones was one of the first women that I saw on TV in the media that like had an influence on me way back in the day when Sex and the City had just come out, where I was like, oh yeah, women, we can fuck whoever we want. Like, it doesn't have to be the
man. You were saying when 1997?
Yeah. Well, no, I watched like reruns a little bit later in the 2000s, okay, yeah. You know, like late at night when my parents were in bed. Like, so that's when I would watch
it. When we watched DVDs.
Yeah. And that's when I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to be a Samantha Jones.
So, Lauren, I used to watch Dr. Sue Johansson when mom and dad went
to bed. Yes, she was the best.
Dr.
Is
Sue.
Is she alive?
Yeah.
I think so. We were like, that's
Dr.
how
Ruth
we,
is
we
still alive.
Learned
she was
about
the
that
best.
Show. We were like, this is so stupid, but we're fucking listening.
Yeah,
totally. And
no, we were like, oh my God.
Dr. Sue's a real OG. My question to you is, because I feel like women like Samantha Jones, because in this day and age, a lot of women are like, now we kind of are having sex like men, like that episode is, where we're like, we can fuck whoever we want. You know, I feel like women in general are taking more ownership of their sexuality. Do you think that is affecting people actually settling down and being in relationships? Do you think that throws men off?
Well, when you say, I wonder who defines it as like sex like men. Like, why does it make it sex like men?
Right. Like, see, even that in itself. Well, I was saying that because that's the quote that's said in the episode. I wasn't actually saying that, like, in life. But in the episode,
like man,
she's like, we can fuck like men. Yeah.
I think it's more of, like, why buy the milk when you can have why buy the cow when you can have the milk for free?
Yeah. Say more.
Which is, you know how, like, we're kind of, like, brought up with, like, don't do anything without commitment or,
like
even a ring on your finger.
Keep them interested.
Because, like, why would he want to commit to you if he's going to get that?
I mean, I hate to promote game playing, but I do think that whether it's just having so much social media stuff and dating apps and things, like, I think we do live in a very get it right now type of culture. And so if it's not working out with somebody, like, oftentimes I think couples don't want to put in the work because they're like, oh, I'll just get this newer, better model and I won't have to put in the work, at least for a little while.
Right.
And so I think that's the issue with the swiping thing is it's like, it's everything seems so replaceable that people invest less and they're just used to like getting that immediate gratification that I think it does affect stuff. And I think in terms of people like learning how, I think porn can be great entertainment for lots of people, but that's what it is. It's entertainment and it's not reality.
It's not reality.
And so unfortunately a lot of young people are getting their sex education from that and like in a vacuum and not getting other sex ed from other people. Mm-hmm. And so they're maybe not learning that like, that's not the reality. Like, this isn't just entertainment. This is like learning how to drive a car from watching The Fast and the Furious. Like, it's not the fucking same.
So how do you recommend like people listening now to explore their sexuality and learn that stuff if they didn't have the talk? Like, if their parents never gave them the talk and they shouldn't watch porn, how should they do it?
Well, listen to this episode. Check out Sluts and Scholars. Yeah, visit a sex positive sex therapist. I mean, I think the exploration starts with yourself and having that conversation with yourself of like, how was I taught about sex growing up? What were my models for sex and sexuality and for relationships? And how does that affect me now? Like getting mm-hmm. to the bottom of like where that comes from. And then, you know, practicing self-exploration. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think there's a lot of great ways to do that for people with vaginas out there. There's a great book called Becoming Clitorate. That's a good one. And then another one called Come As You Are.
I got to send that to a couple guys I know.
Hey, I think everyone...
This is what the vagina looks like.
Everyone who loves somebody with a vagina should read Becoming Clitorate.
That's funny. There's two different kinds. I don't know. Maybe there's a couple of different kinds, but I know there's two different kinds of orgasms for ladies.
There's actually upwards of like 12.
Okay, there's what? Upwards of 12. And I always
thought about the two that you know,
like the clitoral and the cervical.
Cervical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smart. The G spot one
is that G spot?
No, two different.
Cervical okay. definitely up G spot.
Okay, I feel like when I'm about to have a cervical one, I kind of freak out because it's like kind of really intense.
It's intense.
It's intense, so I'm just like, flip over, I'll get on top.
And then
I'll
you
just,
don't do, oh my God, yeah. me too. I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah. no. But why I'm do like, I do that? Why do I just go for it?
I'm gonna shit myself
why
or something.
Why don't I just go for
it? I definitely think I'm gonna shit myself.
It's almost like this scary thing where I'm like, I can't
but if
it.
I just let it go a little bit further, it could be dominant, you know?
I think that's a really sensitive part, and it's hilarious. I think it's a vulnerable space for a lot of people, because it's like very much giving away a lot of your body and yourself and like that feeling, and so like, I wonder what's stopping you from just like.
I honestly think it's from pooping.
Are you worried you're going to shit yourself?
Yeah, Lauren's always scared of pooping. Like anything can set her off down there.
Thank God I've been with Jack for a while. That I probably wouldn't scare him off
if you shit yourself.
You should probably try.
I mean, just put down a towel. Yeah. You know, it's all good.
Yeah, I know. So,
that's so
I mean,
gross.
Hey, you know your body. Like, if there's like something going on where that's actually going to happen, like,
I don't
sure,
know, like, if it could be, or it could just be like all the muscles like doing something, and I think it's that, but maybe
I think it's
not.
Because it's in it, so yeah, different kind of orgasm. Cervical would be like a very deep penetrating orgasm inside a vagina, because it's it's where your cervix is, and so that is close to, I think, your, I don't know, like your stomach
mm-hmm. that was like
area
supposed to
almost
hurt.
I think it can if you're not relaxed
you feel it
enough.
In your stomach.
And it's, you know, it's different than like going to the OBG, the gynecologist, and having them poke around because you're not like relaxed and aroused usually. But like,
wait, that's a great question. Why don't you get aroused?
Wait,
that's why.
I want to talk about more orgasms.
Okay, fine.
We can talk about that too.
Yeah.
But because I think it's so close to like other areas of your body, just like after you have sex, sometimes you feel like you have to pee and then nothing really comes out because mm-hmm. it's like so close to the bladder area that it might just be feeling that way. But I mean, I can't tell you for certain if you're gonna shit yourself.
Right.
Try it out, see what happens.
I know. Oh God. Okay, so
shit happens sometimes.
We got those two, and what's another one?
So there's
that's like normal for us ladies without like doing
there's vaginal, which is not all the way cervical, but just like inside. You said G spot. Mm-hmm. So that would be like in and up. Inside the vagina,
okay.
There's clitoral, which is the, you know, the exterior part. I think important to note that like your clitoris is pretty big, and the only part that we see of it, that's just a little part of it. That's only like a fifth of the whole clitoris.
Oh. I did not know that.
Really?
I remember that from a diagram that like goes inside you.
So if everyone listening can do this, like put your thumb in between your pointer finger and your middle finger.
Okay.
Like a V. And then turn that upside down. Okay, so this is like the vagina. The thumb at the top part mm-hmm. is the part of the clitoris that sticks out that you can see.
Oh, so it goes all the way
and
in
the
like
legs,
that.
The legs are behind the skin. You can't see them. They're underneath, but it has like 10 times maybe more nerve endings than the penis.
Cool.
And so that's why like the lips that. And the labia on the side and then parts inside also feel good. It's a lot due to the clitoris. Then there'd be like mixed orgasms. So like a combination of all
I
of that happening.
I think the mixed is the way to go, everyone.
Mixed. I like the mixed too. Some people.
I love the way that I know this shit because of Cosmo. Like, I have been reading chapters and chapters in Cosmo for the past, like, 15 years.
Yeah.
And you don't read anything.
No, I don't. I explore on my own.
Both equally good. Yeah. You could leave her articles so she can explore later.
Can we talk about men coming now? Because I know that
you don't want to hear about the other ways we can come.
Yeah, I do actually. I mean, I wasn't sure if you were going to go in the club.
Oh, we could. Okay. So there's some people orgasm just from kissing. There's lots of people who have like spinal injuries that don't have feeling anymore in their genitals, and so they can orgasm from other erogenous zones.
No,
but do they feel in their
nips and stuff?
So orgasm itself is kind of a mental experience. There's like a physical and a mental component. So you can have bodily or that feeling of orgasm with being stimulated, like on your neck, on your mouth, on your nipples, on your elbow. Like it could be anywhere for some people. Mm-hmm. One that I think is particularly cool is just purely a mental orgasm with no touch. This happens when you do like orgasm training.
I saw somebody like they were like just touched with a feather or something. I
think this in that like whatever days late?
Yes,
what is it called?
The Josh Hartnett movie.
Yes, totally. And he touched her with like the magnolia, and then she like the orchid or whatever.
So funny. Yeah.
Well, so mental is
that somewhere.
You could, what was that? It was like
40 days. 40 days.
40 days. I love that movie. So what a great buildup. It's like orgasm training. So it's sort of like a dog, you know, like if you show them that, like when you get this noise, like you get this treat,
yeah, right.
You can train yourself when that's you fun. Hear this word, you will orgasm.
That's kind of like the same way you can like create a psychopath too. Right? Because
create a psychopath.
Yeah. Because like if you murder someone or whatever, you see something, violent, and while you're having sex, you're gonna get trained to be turned on by violence. Like you could do that either way.
Maybe with hopefully people who are turned on by violence become psychopaths.
So Jeffrey Dahmer was like, you know, going through puberty, and then he was dissecting a lot of animals. Therefore, he turned into like this psychopath.
Yeah. Or he
could have been born that way.
But I've seen people that I know who have like the word, and so they can go out to a bar and their partner will whisper the word and they'll have an orgasm without any touch or anything.
That's awesome.
That's so hot.
That's my new hobby.
Cool. Yes. Wait, how do you train yourself?
That's awesome.
Like conditioning, like I was saying, you train to associate a word or something with having an orgasm. Yeah. I mean, there's people who know how to do it that can like do it with you. So if your partner doesn't know, like I'm sure there's workshops and classes around orgasm training, but like that's a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Like,
what if you're in the middle of a meeting and they
I mean that's
pencil,
like
banana squash.
You're just bring like extra underwear.
That's so hilarious.
We just were reaching on something. You said something.
Oh, you want to talk about men?
Guys. Yeah, but were those all the 12
and
ways?
Just other parts of your body? Like it could be, you know, non-erogenous, meaning like non-erotic genital spots of your body.
I wanted to ask about pre-cum because there's all these myths surrounding it.
That's a good question. So
I can't promise I know the answers, but I will try.
I just want your take on it. Like, can you actually get pregnant from it? I feel like you know a lot.
You totally can. The amount of times Lauren had a scare because of pre-cum and the amount of times I Yahoo'd answered that shit.
Oh, yeah. She comes to my room with, like, a printed scroll.
Like, all 50 of these women got pregnant just off pre-cum.
I love how it's, like, Yahoo answer.
Interesting thing is, you can help prevent that by having your partner pee before sex.
Yes, I know that.
Whoa.
Because
I didn't know that.
Because it's the same hole.
You go ahead.
Yeah. Or it's the same like tube. So
if they pee, it just comes out in the pee and then you can like fuck leisurely.
The urine kills it because of the acidity.
And if they that day or if they like come that day, you're more likely to get pregnant from that pre-cum because it's still in the
vesicles. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes.
I love this.
So, I mean, I think if you do it right and like train yourself, like the pull-out method, obviously not to prevent STIs, is like pretty effective to prevent unwanted pregnancy. But that's like if people know all these things and really like have good timing and do it right. But like, you know, the perfect storm of like pre-cum and somebody ovulating, could happen.
The perfect storm.
The perfect storm. What is that? Unless you want it to happen.
Well, in order to have a good sex life, you need good physical health. And to get good physical health, you need to work out and take your vitamins. Right?
Right.
So we got Ritual on deck. We got Ritual, everyone. Nass, tell us a little bit about Ritual.
Okay, so I love Ritual because it doesn't smell gross like other vitamins. Like, normally vitamins make me really nauseous because of the smell of it.
You want to throw up.
Not only the smell of it, but the taste of it too. And you guys, I'm telling you, you have to try these vitamins before you just never... What am I trying to say? Write off vitamins for the rest of your life?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it smells like mint and it doesn't affect my stomach or make me nauseous. And I just feel like so healthy every morning. I'm like, I'm such an adult just taking vitamins every day.
That's really good. I remember when I used to take like 50 billion vitamins because I was in like a real health kick, but I never felt good afterward. And I was just probably taking things I didn't really need.
Yeah.
So Ritual makes it so that you are taking really what you need and not like a whole bunch of extra stuff. It's vegan, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, and allergen-free. It's made in the U.S. without synthetic...
Is it allergen-free?
Allergen. Allergen. Oh.
Ha! Okay, well, but this is delayed response capsules that bypass the stomach to help prevent nausea, and that's what we're all scared of. The morning... vitamin nausea.
Yes, and you guys can visit their website and you'll learn everything from why each ingredient is beneficial to where it's sourced. So what you guys need to know is that this is a subscription-based service, so that way you have no gap in your nutrient levels. It's $30 a month, delivered right to your door, super easy. Buying the omega-3 yourself is the cost of a Ritual bottle.
And if you forget a few days, you can just snooze your order until you catch up. It's happiness guaranteed, no questions asked, and you can cancel at any time.
Fill the gaps in your diet with the best sourced ingredients. Happiness guaranteed, no questions asked, cancel easily anytime.
So forget everything you guys thought about vitamins. Ritual is the brand that's reinventing the experience with the 9 essential nutrients that women lack the most. So if you're ready to invest in your health, do what we did. Go to ritual.com/get it. Your future self will thank you for taking Ritual. Consider it your lifelong health 401k. And all you have to do is put $1 a day in. Think of how much you already spend on your food, guys. So why put anything but clean ingredients backed by real science in your body? Go to ritual.com/get it. All right, back to the podcast. Sex addiction.
What about it?
I just want to know more about it.
Do you feel like that's a thing?
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, can you be, or can you just like really enjoy sex?
Russell Brand really seems like he has it.
People do have sex addictions.
He is addicted to everything.
Yeah, that's true. He has addiction issues.
Yeah.
What do you think makes somebody addicted?
Just like a certain part of their brain.
Like where they feel like they need it to be happy, maybe.
Lauren has addiction issues.
Not to sex, though.
Maybe Shake Shack.
We all know that.
To Shake Shack.
I mean, there's two schools of thought. I'm of the school of thought that does not believe in sex addiction.
Yeah,
interesting.
And there are people out there who do believe in that as a word. I think both of these schools of thought like have different... I don't know. They kind of like explain it the same way of like what's happening. But for an addiction, it's more like you said, like something in the brain that's happening. And all the studies and things they have so far, like don't show the same in terms of how an addiction works, like in your brain. Mm-hmm. And so instead, people who don't believe in calling it that call it something like out of control sexual behavior. Mm-hmm. Like I certainly believe that like sex can ruin your life or like run your life in a different way where it's affecting your life negatively. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's getting in the way of relationships, of work. It's like the thing that you use to feel good about yourself. Like I think we can have unhealthy relationships with sex for sure. I wouldn't call it an addiction, like, cause it doesn't look the same as like having alcoholism or having a drug addiction, but you know, you can have a problematic relationship with sex.
My friend says that him and his long-term girlfriend broke up because he's a sex addict. But I'm like, he's like, I just kept cheating on her and I'm pretty and like I saw a therapist and I'm a sex addict. And I'm just like, I think maybe you just didn't like her enough and you wouldn't have cheated on her.
Or you're just a human being and have like other urges and have more trouble with like
monogamy,
urge control, or monogamy.
Like maybe your frontal lobe needs to be a little bit more developed.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
But then, isn't that what addiction is? Urge control, Nicoletta.
Well, so some argue that the way that addiction works in the brain, like it looks like a certain mechanism is happening, and so when we look at sex addiction, the same thing isn't happening in the brain. And so it's different, but I think that's the argument now is that some people do believe it's like a biological thing that's happening that like you can't control. And so you have to like give up to this higher power and do the AA thing. And some people believe that like, it's because of an unhealthy relationship with sex. Like you didn't learn about it. You didn't learn this. You didn't, you know, you have self-confidence issues, you have other issues. And like, that's what's causing this unhealthy relationship with sex. Like sex is just sort of the symptom, but not the cause. And I think just the word sex addiction like has stigma for people, because it used to be that they would call folks who are gay or who are into kinky stuff that they would be sex addicts, even if it was like totally consensual and fine. I also think there's a lot of celebrities who have used that as like a catch-all. Like, oh, I did this because I have this sex addiction. Like it's this like easy out for shitty behavior, or for like not controlling your behavior. And like, yeah, sure, maybe some of them need like some good help and support around like why they're doing this and what's really going on and what's causing it. But I think just to use it as like a catch-all doesn't really work. Like someone gave me an example one time, like let's say you sneeze and there can be so many different causes for that sneeze, right? It's not that you have like a sneeze addiction. It's like you, it might be a cold, it might be dust, it might be you looked at the sun. Like
that's
it could
a good
be
example.
So yeah, many different things
go hand in hand.
Right. So for some, like it might be because they're depressed and they're looking to sex to soothe. It might be, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Like sex can be very self-soothing. Maybe they're not happy in their relationship. Maybe they're not happy with themselves. Maybe they're struggling with a brain chemical thing that they don't have enough good feelings and they're looking to this. Maybe they don't feel good about themselves.
But then I'm a little confused, because then couldn't you say the same for alcohol? There's a lot of different reasons why people drink.
Exactly why a lot of people will say that alcoholism isn't a disease.
Yeah.
Right. Addiction so then you're from disease, that school of thought instead. So you don't think alcohol
I don't know.
Is an
I think I don't know enough about it to say. I think that it's gone on for so long to label it as an addiction that like, I think we've just like accepted it. And so we've more accepted that like AA is the thing that works and people do that and it is a disease.
Which also sucks for the people doing it, because then they, some of them probably feel ashamed for calling themselves the word addict.
Yeah. But some people like
having
label.
A label, like you feel more comfortable with something. Like
yeah. And
if
that they
you're
have a community.
Sick and you have a diagnosis, you're like, thank God. Now I know exactly what to do.
Yeah. So I never
I don't know.
Call
I feel
that.
People would feel more ashamed actually from it. Like, yeah, oh well, man, I'm an alcoholic.
Well, and some people I think like it, cause then they can put it, the blame on that.
That's
then
true.
They're like, I can't control myself. I have this addiction, this disease. And I think that takes ownership away from the person. And sometimes that feels good, because it's like, I can't trust myself. I'm going to put it into this higher power.
Right.
Yeah.
But
this
I don't
know. This
is
what we've always done and defined it.
I never use the word sex addiction to describe a client. But if they come in and they tell me, like, I'm a sex addict, I let them identify themselves, like, however they want. But we might still be doing the same work on, like, what is going on.
I feel like this conversation has brought up a lot of things I used to do differently than I do now. And I think it is basically just maturity, but maybe it also has to do with how we were taught about sex.
What kind of stuff?
Well, when I was like, okay, so yeah, I didn't learn, like, I didn't pay attention maybe when I was growing up through like puberty about sex. Cause I was like, I'm so prude. I've never kissed a boy. I'm never going to need this. And then bada bing, bada boom, meet the older man who taught me everything. I'm doing everything within a month.
She went from having her first kiss to her first blowjob within 6 weeks.
And then he basically, looking back completely, used me for like this new young thing who was training. He was literally training me sexually. And then from that went on to just be like, oh, I learned all these new skills. I'm going to go to high school and like use this as my power. And then I never enjoyed sex ever until like a couple years ago.
That's sad.
But it was just like such an evolution. But I think like it takes like a lot of years for you to actually learn what you like.
What do you think happened that it didn't feel like fun and powerful anymore?
That is a very good question. I think I put, when I stopped doing drugs, then
there's a whole other element in there.
I stopped having sex that I didn't enjoy. So then I started being like very sober during sex. Mm. And then I actually started to like enjoy it rather than put on like a porn show. Cause that's where I learned it from, you know?
So before it sounds like you were doing just, it as a performance.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like you saw it as a, yeah. And as now a, I'm just a like, good or a service that you can
exactly.
like, have power with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just like, I don't feel like it or I feel like it.
Like
and
a way to make it. Guys
gonna
like
be
so, you.
Exactly. And yeah. I'm just going to be sober and I'm going to enjoy it.
I think a lot of girls feel like that mm-hmm. sometimes growing up.
Yeah.
Like they're like, I need to be really good at giving head so yes. guys like me. Like,
and
I
then
feel
the
like
word will get around that I'm good at head and then I'll be popular.
Yeah. Well, it's like what you said earlier. Like, oh, I'm going to rely on this guy to teach me.
Exactly.
Like what he needs or yeah. what he likes.
Exactly.
I mean, I think it's. We overuse the word, but like the patriarchy or whatever, mm-hmm. like this yeah. is a little bit of that of just saying that like maybe we're put here for other people's enjoyment and uh-huh. it's fine if you like that and you're aroused by that and you're into that, but it sounds like you started enjoying sex when you felt like it was yours.
That's true.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
How and did I, you get
everyone
back?
Should feel like it's theirs.
Yeah. Like how did I... you reclaim it as yours?
Let's see here. Probably when I started just sleeping with one person.
Or with someone you really like.
Yeah, with someone you really like, too. Rather than just you want them to like you because they're X, Y, and Z, yeah, famous, when, yeah. whatever.
When
yeah.
you started sleeping with somebody that was only one person, he was still awful, and then you still didn't enjoy it.
Oh, well, he was a psycho.
Yeah,
he
was this was the first psycho. Guy?
No, this was my, like, third 20s. Boyfriend who yeah. literally, when I was getting off, would get soft because I was enjoying myself.
Mm. But I think that's why I think it's like finding someone that you really like, yeah. that you feel likes you back.
And
like,
also isn't like going to force good... me into like, we're having sex before we eat.
It's not
like, I must eat before sex.
He had a big smelly dick too.
You smelled it?
No.
That was his thing.
Yeah. I was like, I need context.
No, this is his whole thing. Lauren like couldn't give him a head because it tasted so bad.
What do you think? Talk about weird tasting spunk. What were you just going to ask?
Well, no, I wonder what like made you feel like you couldn't speak up about this stuff.
Oh, I did. There was one time where I was crying. Like, looking back on it, it was terrible. Like, it was really
and he just
bad.
Wasn't responsive.
And I was, yeah, he was, I was like crying during sex.
Oh,
and
man,
it was like,
awful. That's like being raped.
Literally, look, I was talking to Moore about this the other day. I'm like, literally, if that happened today with all like this new stuff going on, I would be like, wow, I was just raped.
There's so many times in a day where I'm like, wow, this would never fly in 2018. Like, have you guys been saying that a lot? It's just really crazy how far we've come.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously there's still work to be done, but there's definitely more empowered voices speaking out there. But I think that is why early sex ed is important, mm-hmm, is because, mm-hmm. To make young people feel empowered to like be able to speak up and get their needs met and know that like your pleasure and your joy matters and that that's important and that it's not for somebody. It's up to you if you want to share that with them.
Like,
or
I
not.
Never thought it was like part of sex to have the woman get off, honestly. I was like, whenever he's done, it's done. And that's it.
That
and
is I think really crazy.
That's literally
1950s.
Now I'm just thinking that. I'm just realizing
that.
No,
I think that's for most people, most girls.
Yeah. Not today.
Not today, but like in our generation growing up, I think it was all about like getting the guy.
I think when you're in high school, I think it's like a young thing. I don't think you start feeling like you deserve it until you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
And some people, even in their 20s, don't because they've had this lifetime of experience without it. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you like came back and had that experience and are enjoying it now. But I do think sometimes without support, like people definitely don't. Like I've had people in their 40s plus who have never had an orgasm, either with their self or another person. And it's not physically caused. Mm-hmm. So I think it is still happening. And young people too, who have never had an orgasm or never had one with a partner. It's definitely still happening.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Do you know what percentage of women like don't orgasm? Because I feel like reading Cosmo, it always says like a lot of women actually don't.
Like 30% need like help with a toy or something.
Yeah, it's... I think it's 30% can come from like vaginal intercourse alone. And for only 10% of women, that's their most reliable way. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's just, it's not that it's not possible. I think we're just like going about it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And you got to use some of those other like 11 plus ways.
I'm so excited to introduce food into my sex life, guys.
What's going to be your first food stop?
I don't know.
You're going to put French fries up your stomach?
No, what if you, Lauren, what about this experience?
No, I'm eating the food.
Lauren, what about this experience? You put a Shake Shack burger in your mouth the same time that he goes inside.
Okay.
Oh! I think that's actually pretty sensory.
Yeah. But then maybe, yeah, okay.
It's like those Carl Jr. commercials.
Yes. Lauren, that way you get your booty back.
I gotta get my booty
What's gonna be your first food stop?
A Junior Whopper.
Onion rings. Around his penis.
Oh,
yes!
Wait a second. That's a great idea.
That grosses me the fuck out. I fucking hate onion rings and onions and the breath of onions.
Oh, damn.
It's fine if you're both eating it.
It's fine if you're both eating it, but like onions to me will never. Donuts is a good alternative.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I think that's what I like. Can't wait to hear about it.
Thank you.
I once started having sex one time with my partner because I like. Spilled ranch. I think we were like eating naked, mm-hmm. and then I like ranch got on my tit.
Ranch, another great idea.
Yeah, and then he like licked the ranch off, and then like that was it.
Amazing.
So I support.
Okay. So much learned.
So you are a family and marriage counselor. What do you get as like the number one issue couples come to you with?
How can we make sex exciting again?
But like it's a marriage and relationship. No, I just want to know like if not just sex, but like what number one issue do you have in a relationship?
I think most of the people come in that I see and there is a sexual issue, but usually something else is uncovered, whether it's like mm-hmm. a connection or intimacy thing. I think the biggest issue is just sexual desires that aren't lining up.
Yeah. Like what do you do?
Well, so yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we don't always have the same desire level as our partner. And then usually one of us like wants it in the morning and the other one wants it at night. And I want it this many times a week and they want it this many times mm-hmm. a week. Like it's hard to line up. I mean, I think it's talking about the expectations of sex and like, what do we expect from our partner? What would feel like good enough sex? Making sure we work out other things in the relationship that like aren't going well. And we talk about too, like how they learned about sex and where these beliefs are coming from. I think compromise does have to happen.
How does the compromise happen? Does like somebody end up just like doing it more than they want to do it?
Well, I think they go see Nicoletta, right? And then she
introduces
them and
things
them
that would make them a little more aroused.
Yeah, give suggestions to each person.
Well, I think it's asking yourself like, if the schedule stuff lining up is like a deal breaker for you, that's maybe something you should like figure out before
getting married
or before getting in a relationship with someone. Like if you're like, hey, you know, this is kind of a struggle, but like this isn't a deal breaker. Fine. Then you figure out how to have like good enough connected mm-hmm. sex. But if you're like, I'm really into this one thing and it's so important to me to have it and your partner's not into it, like, maybe you're dating like the wrong species. Mm-hmm. I don't mean like you should date animals. I just mean like, you know, dating the wrong person. But I think, especially in a long term, if it's a monogamous relationship, like setting up sounds simple, but like setting up a sex date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think those are cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, you know, it doesn't have to be the pressure of like, you're going to have sex, but being like, this relationship is important. We're going to set aside this time every week to like do something for ourselves. And if sex happens, great. And if it doesn't, like, it's just a time to connect and be together. And I think there's different levels of wanting in a relationship. Like sometimes we want our partner because we're just like horny and want to get off and we're turned on and excited by them and want to do it. And I think another level of wanting is like, I'm not really in the mood right now, but I know that this connection is important to my relationship. And I'm willing to be open to getting turned on because I mm-hmm. want to connect with my partner and I know it's important.
Turning you on turns me on. Do you think people that are more sexually active, whether it's with themselves or with other people, as opposed to people who aren't really sexually active with themselves or with other people, do you think those people are happier?
Good question. I think it's not a problem unless it's a problem, right? Like if you have a couple that like really doesn't prioritize sex and like it doesn't matter to either of them and they're fine, like Who cares? Yeah. That's great. Whatever.
But there's no science behind it, really, like studies.
I mean, there's science that shows that like masturbation and having sex has health benefits in terms of like dopamine release and happiness and good for fighting your immune system. I don't know if I know. I'm sure there are studies out there. I don't know if I know any of the results that say like if they're happier.
Right.
I think it just matters like if it's important to you in the relationship.
Yeah. Jack was like, we got to have more sex, build our immune systems. He literally showed me an article and I was like, I guess you're right. Like,
Cause you know, how people say, you know how people say like, oh, this person is so uptight. Like they need to get fucked. I guess that's more mainly what I was like asking about. Huh?
Do you agree with that?
No, that's why I was asking you. Is that a real thing or not?
Yeah. That's
because I hear it all the time.
Comment.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm like, oh, so then does that mean people that are more sexually active or in tune with themselves sexually are actually happier? Like,
more
do
relaxed.
They have higher dopamine levels than people that aren't getting fucked out there?
I think as long as you've really done the work to make like an insightful, educated choice about not having sex be a priority, then you can be just as happy. That's my opinion. I think it's different to not be having sex because it's like you don't have a choice or you don't have available partners or you're not connecting with your partner or you're sick of each other and so you're just not doing it. Like, I think all those, it's hard to isolate just the sex because it's probably like other shit's going on that's making this connection bad. But if you've like made an informed choice to be like, sex isn't really a part of our thing, we've tried this, everything else in our relationship is going well, it's just not really something that's happening right now, and you're like fine with that, I think you could be just as happy.
Yeah, people used to say with Ashley all the time, or behind her back.
That what? I just
like, she needs to get fucked.
Yeah, and I'd be like, no, I'm just a wound up person. I'm very type A.
You're very type A.
You're also, like, I'm probably and I still am wound up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just who she is.
No, it's just who I am. Yeah, that's rude.
Yeah.
I feel like I am happier when I am more sexually active as opposed to not.
How come?
I think it's because your relationship status. I don't think it's the actual physical act.
No, I think it's the physical. No, you're right. Like, part of it's companionship. Mm-hmm. But I think, okay. So I think when I'm alone, because I'm alone so often and I'm so busy, if I don't have someone to think about or think about the next time I'll hang out or the next time I'll have like a D inside of me, I'm thinking about other things like my schedule, a meeting I have to set up tomorrow. But then when you add a man into that equation, it makes all the other stuff less intense and less like regimented. Does that make sense?
Just
it's like,
if it was
this
the opposite,
is a fun
you know?
Thing.
So it's like a welcome outlet and distraction for you.
Yes. That's why I also asked that too. Cause I think, I don't know. I feel
that's also like if you have nothing else going on, but only a man, you're driving yourself crazy just thinking about that. So you need like the balance.
Right. Yeah. Work-life balance. Yeah. But I feel like if you don't have the sex or the guy or the girl or yourself, mm-hmm. whoever's listening to this, I think then you're just constantly thinking about life, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a stigma for, like, using sex as, like, a way to feel connected to people.
Yeah.
Like, I think some people get a bad rap for being like, oh, you're using sex to validate yourself or to feel good about yourself. But I wonder why we have this thought about sex when we do that with a lot of other things. Like,
Exactly. Maybe
for you it's buying shoes. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe for me it's, like, binging Netflix and watching, like, all of a series in one sitting. Like, those are things that have become like normalized mm-hmm. self-care. But I think as a culture, we really don't prioritize like leisure and pleasure. And so I think it's okay to have sex be a coping tool in some ways, as long as maybe you, you know,
you're
or have
not harming
other
yourself
outlets.
Other ways, like emotionally. But the reason why I wanted you to bring that up is because don't you guys feel like whenever someone in your life is, you know how so many people say, oh, well, she's just using him for sex. Or he's just using her for sex. Exactly what she's saying. What? So what?
Yeah, I guess as long
why
as the other person is like,
as long
aren't getting
both
up.
People are
using
for the same reasons.
Yeah. I mean, don't we use everyone for some? I don't want to say use because it sounds bad, but like, don't we all get something from like our relationships and things with people?
Get it's something true. From going to the movies. Like you get something with everything.
Well, it'd be different if there's a power dynamic, like you were talking about earlier with this older guy who mm-hmm. you felt like was like training you and maybe you weren't getting something out of it. Not that every exchange you have to get something out of, but I think it's different if like someone with a higher power is like taking something from you versus if you're like on the same power level and you've consented and decided to like,
yeah, I was just hoping that he would make
do
me his
sex
wife,
with each other.
But he wasn't.
Yeah, but
well,
that so that wasn't like
no, in hindsight, but
So that wasn't like necessarily pleasurable for you. Maybe it was at times, but
no, you didn't get anything out of it.
But I learned a lot, which is, you know, good. I guess as a student, you learned and he taught.
You live and you learn.
Yeah. My question was, for all the couples that come into your practice, do you feel like there's one thing they should know, like a quick solution to a lot of problems that people don't try before going into therapy?
Go to therapy earlier.
Yeah. Talk to your partner.
Yeah, communication, obviously. I mean, I think a lot of people wait to come to my office when it's been like 10 plus years.
Oh my gosh.
Of like this is like their last resort. Uh-huh. And so I really try to encourage people to like do things, whether it's therapy or classes, like do things preventatively to add to your relationship, like have relationship like weekly or monthly like check-ins to like take the relationship temperature and like talk and have those conversations and like touch base and see how things are going, because the resentment just builds over time. So if you can like get it proactively and learn how to better communicate early on, I would say that's key. But it really is like communication, but a lot of people don't know how to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, wouldn't it be great if we had communication and sex ed classes in school? So I think, yeah, it's just making time for the relationship, and that work doesn't mean that it's bad.
Yeah.
I would say that's like an overlapping theme.
Like, don't give up, guys. Work it out.
Work
Everyone
it
just gives
out.
Up and breaks up. Did you have another question?
I mean, of course, there's some like shitty relationships that you like should maybe get out of. But at the same time, like I said, I think with that instant gratification culture, if we are so used to just like swiping next, people think that hard work equals bad. So when they're like, oh, the relationship and sex is now taking work, that means something's wrong. It doesn't always mean something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I thought it'd be fun if we went around the table and talked about the one thing that makes us feel uncomfortable when we talk about this topic.
Oh, I like that.
You mean only sex-wise or really like in with
I think
in the sexual sex, landscape.
Yeah. One thing that makes us uncomfortable?
Yeah. Okay. So mine is I hate the word fuck or fucked. Like, it makes me feel so uncomfortable when Naz just referred to like people
like
not getting
fucked.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know. It just makes me like feel very like cringy and like it's just, I guess I don't like the thought of it just being detached and just a physical thing and not have any sort of like a relationship attached to it.
Why does fucked make you think it's not, there's no relationship attached to it?
Because they're making love, they're not fucking.
But it also sounds passive too, right? Like getting fucked means someone is doing something
you know
to
what?
You.
Thank you for pinpointing it on me. It definitely to me feels almost like a rape thing. Like you're getting fucked. Like you're getting railed.
Like you're laying there and taking it.
Yeah, you're taking
as
it.
As opposed to like you're doing this thing with somebody.
Yes.
Like someone's doing a thing to you.
Yes. Wow, you just really...
What if they said like I'm fucking with you?
Oh, well, in that context as like a different type of
not like
verb,
fucking with you negatively,
different.
But yeah. like kissing with, remember?
Yes, that's right. Did I say that on your podcast that I felt uncomfortable with that?
No, I think Simone was talking about like using the word kissing with to describe someone you're like hooking
up with.
Oh,
that's right. Instead of saying hooking up.
Like, this guy I'm kissing with.
That's cute.
I like that. Well, hooking up is so many definitions.
Yeah, like what does
too.
That even mean?
Yeah.
You know, shake shack together. Because I can't think
I
of
can't
one.
Think
I'm
of
not
one right now.
With a lot of things.
Yeah, same.
You're comfortable with a lot of it? Or you're
I'm not uncomfortable with
yeah.
a lot of
so you are comfortable with yeah. those things.
Yeah, Nicoletta, do you have one I have to think for?
I'm sure you're not uncomfortable at anything.
Yeah. I've definitely heard a lot of things. I think for a while I did not like hearing about like poop stuff. Okay. I think it's still something that I like in relationships, like I never want my partner to like know or see that happens.
That's right. So
for me
funny.
That is funny for somebody who's so bodily
you're so open.
Yeah.
Well, because I like I think it's coming from a place of like wanting to keep it mystery.
Mystery
that there's this pressure to keep it sexy, like oh don't want to fart in front of you. Like, let's keep these things a mystery. Don't want to shit in front of you.
Yeah.
Like, let's keep it a mystery. So when I hear people talking about it, I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely not my
in your relationship
fetish for sure.
Okay. Got it.
Come on, guys.
I can't think of one.
Well, that's, I guess that's, it's not a shameful thing if you have this thing that
I
makes
really
you uncomfortable.
Don't like bestiality.
Well, yeah, I don't think anyone at this table does.
That's a hard limit for
you. You can't, like, acknowledge that, like, and be like okay with it. Like, if you're talking to someone, like a client or something, it's like, I'm into like fucking dogs or something, you have to be like, that's terrible, right?
Yeah, it's animal cruelty.
Well, yeah, that's illegal.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, you can't respect that as their sexuality.
There, no,
like, I mean, a pedophile, you can't respect that.
That's actually a fair question.
Pedophilia and bestiality are quite.
Well, no, because Nicoletta is actually, aren't you an expert in like people that are attracted to minors? Am I right or wrong about that?
Yeah, I do work with those folks.
So you work, so then what is your answer to that question?
To find support and find healthy and legal ways to get that interest met.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think there are other cultures that like do normalize it. There was like a Vice special. So if you're really curious and you want to see some donkey stuff, check out the Vice special.
Mr. Hands. Have you seen that video?
No. Sorry. No. She doesn't like horses anymore. I hate horses
now. I think they're evil. They killed the man.
Yeah, but the man was sticking it in them, Lauren.
No, it wasn't. Ashley, okay, this horse.
I did not know this conversation was going to go to bestiality.
This horse fucked the guy and ripped his colon and he died. But the guy, all he did was like bend over bare ass in front of him. And the horse fucked him to death.
What?
Oh, I didn't.
And now I hate horses.
Sorry, didn't know the horse did it.
Well, I guess this makes me uncomfortable too. There you go. Because I wish I never knew that story.
I wish I could go back to 5 minutes ago. And I said, "Fuck these horses."
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Damn. Well, I do ride horses, so if you ever want to come have a different kind of positive, non-sexual
experience.
You
look like you
experience.
Ride horses, like your hair blow. You're like red hair blowing.
It's yeah, crazy she looks hair. Like Brave, but yeah. Like yeah. IRL.
Totally.
I came up with something.
Yeah, we gotta go.
Oh, shit, I forgot what it was.
Bestiality is always a good note to end on, you know? Yeah.
So mine is slut shaming, I guess.
But you're like not defined, you don't. You're not very slutty.
I think, no, it's not for me personally.
Okay. I think when people
yeah, when people are like, oh, she's such a slut, and it's like, well, I don't know.
You guys,
how do you know? Like, who are you to say that someone's a slut?
But Ashley, you even said, like, you were called, like,
virgin shaming.
Yeah.
But,
you were even called a slut when you weren't even doing anything.
I was like a slutty virgin.
So it's like, you can't.
Because I, like, dress sexy.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other topic that I forgot to bring up, and she's got to go now. But.
Well, that's what I think when people use the word slut, it's like, who are you to call anyone else a slut? That's my thing.
Well, just this shameless self promo. Like, obviously, check out Sluts and Scholars we have a full episode on, like, the word slut and how that makes people feel. I mean, we've had people reject our podcast for lots of, certain things because of the name. And so we think it's important to have it in there, but there's definitely like a risk because a lot of people are not on board with that word, even when it's like reclaimed.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, this was lovely. Thank you so much for
coming
on.
Thank you for having
me. So informative. On iTunes and then also on XM Sirius.
We're on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and then we do have a show on Sirius XM on Vivid Radio.
So awesome. Cool.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
You guys. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Wave Podcast Network. Check out all of our shows, including the Brain Candy Podcast, I Don't Get It, Babes and Babies, Coffee Convos, and Let's Talk About It.